Hello everyone and welcome to Berlin Companion, a weekly podcast about everything you never even knew you wanted to know about Berlin. My name is Beata and some of you might know me as the woman behind the Berlin history blog called Kreuzberg Berlin Companion. Or you might know me from Twitter. Last week our time machine took us back to the 1920s and 30s on and around the old Tempelhofer Airport. It was a bumpy flight. Today we will do what many do when in need of a break from things which are maybe disturbing or unappetizing. We will dive into the world of the cinema, starting in the 1920s. In 1925, an ambitious young Englishman arrived in Berlin. Sent there by his employer, a British film production company, to help complete three films made in cooperation with German UFA or UFA Studios. He spent most of his time at the UFA Atelier in Neubabelsberg in Potsdam, which is now world-famous Babelsberg Studios, used by many renowned directors from all over the globe. Roman Polanski, Quentin Tarantino, Wes Anderson with his wonderful Grand Budapest Hotel, whose main filming sites were, however, in Görlitz. Not being able to speak any German, at least not yet, did not bother our young man much. It still being the silent film era, it was the visual mastery of the Weimar Republic filmmakers he was interested in. He watched Fritz Lang, Ernst Lubitsch, camera operator Karl Freund and the awe-inspiring F.W. Murnau at work and learned very fast. The perspective is king, he learned, and it's all about illusion. Making people feel what you want them to feel, not by showing them every single detail, but by doing the opposite, by letting their own imagination run wild with them. The young filmmaker also learned how best to use the studio resources and, like at the theatre, do a lot with very little. He soon tested his new skills on the set of the film he was forced to, although not unhappily so, help direct. The actual director was mostly absent, visiting his Paramour in Berlin-Mitte. On the set of Die Prinzessin und der Geiger, the English title The Blackguard, instead of a large model of the Milan Cathedral, only the smallest section of it was built. Enough to make the audience think, oh yes, yes, that's the Milan Cathedral. Then he threw in a couple of pigeons, allegedly rented from the Berlin Zoo, but most likely borrowed from a local pigeon fancier, and Milan it was. Later he perfected the skill to a level where it became a classic. After making his own first two films, also in Germany, or to be precise, in Munich, the by now proper film director, as well as later writer and producer, with an increasingly admirable style and portfolio, went on to make over 50 movies in total. One of them, a story of a US scientist defecting to the other side of the Iron Curtain, was to be filmed in East Berlin. However, to get the necessary permit, the film script would have to have been submitted for scrutiny to the GDR authorities, and that was unacceptable. As a consequence, in a rather predictable manner, they were not allowed to work on the East German side of the wall. But illusion, being his playground, the film director used other locations and film sets, including one featuring a papier-mâché model of Berlin's Altes Nationalgalerie on the city's museum island. Yet, despite featuring dashing young actors Paul Newman and Julie Andrews, the film rather failed to impress. One of its huge fans, by the way, was the aforementioned American film director Wes Anderson, who himself made such wonderful films as The Royal Tenenbaums, The Darjeeling Express, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, and, of course, The Grand Budapest Hotel. And it is in this last film, which we've already mentioned and which was also filmed in the German city of Görlitz, that Anderson pays homage to this 1966 political thriller. In fact, so big is the homage that he actually reenacts whole scenes from it, but gives this particular delightful Wes Anderson touch. The master he copied returned to Berlin once again when working on what is probably his best-known movie, this time to meet a German electronic music expert who owned a very peculiar instrument built in Berlin in the 1930s, the Trautonium. The soundtrack for the new production needed something extraordinary, something that would match the effect created by another genius film composer for his previous movie, with nothing more but medley screeching violins. The Berlin artist, Oskar Zala, built the instrument he owned himself, and he happened to be the only man on the face of the earth who could actually play it. The sound effects he was able to generate with it were exactly what the brilliant, by now Hollywood, filmmaker was looking for. They were to replace the natural sound that in this particular film felt too mellow, too bucolic for the purpose. Zala locked himself up in his Charlottenburg studio and began to work. This film had its premiere in 1963, and today it would be absolutely impossible to imagine Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds without the disturbingly piercing, haunting screeches of his winged beasts. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a comment. And if you haven't done so yet, follow the podcast on your podcast streaming service of choice. Also, please consider becoming the show's sponsor and buy me a coffee to help cover the cost of its running. You'll find the details in the show notes. And do return next week for another story from the treasure trove of Berlin Companion. In the meantime, you will find me on Twitter at Kreuzberg, that's Kreuzberg with ED at the end, and on WordPress under Kreuzberg Berlin Companion. My Berlin audio tours are available via Voice Maps. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in Berlin.